Well, good morning again, everyone.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord, and happy Mother's Day again. So this morning in John, we read about the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us. His presence, that Spirit, will always be with us in Jesus' earthly absence. Jesus tells his disciples that loving him and keeping his commandments are the evidence of our commitment to him. Loving Jesus is not a feeling. It's not just a word. Loving Jesus is action. Loving Jesus is a way of life, a proof of our love, if you will. Our love is a living witness to the love of Jesus. It's important not because Jesus wants to be the last stop on the love train. Jesus doesn't say these things to his disciples from a place of ego. He says them from the place that's like the kind of love that he is asking from us. Unconditional, demonstrative, eternal. The kind of love that Jesus offers us and calls us to is what defines us as followers of Christ. So how can we possibly love the way Jesus loved is the question that comes to my mind. And Jesus answers that question for us with his promise of the Holy Spirit and his commitment to always be with us in places in all ways. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that makes it possible to keep God's commandments, to love God and to love Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that strengthens us in times of weakness and holds us up in down times. Be sure that the Holy Spirit's job is not just to make things better. The Holy Spirit's job and presence in our life is to experience, celebrate joy and peace, that peace of God that passes all understanding. In John, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples through the breath of Jesus, the same breath that was breathed into Adam. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate all that the Holy Spirit does in our lives at Pentecost. And it's a different experience from that of John, who tells us that Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples. On Pentecost Sunday, there'll be nothing quiet or subtle about how the Holy Spirit comes upon us. This is not an either-or understanding of the Holy Spirit. It's both. We can't definitively know why John depicts the coming in a way so different from the understanding in Acts. And it's not either one, but it's both. The breath of God filling us and the godly fire resting on us and surrounding us inside and out. When we mourn that the Holy Spirit's not at work in our lives, that we are orphaned and we are alone, we need to ask ourselves, am I keeping God's commandments? Am I loving Jesus and loving others the way Jesus loves me? The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. Sometimes we leave the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Colossians 3:14 says the true love of Jesus binds everything together in perfect harmony. There's a great prayer that calls out to the Holy Spirit, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth." O God, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught us the hearts of your faithful in the same Spirit. Help us to know what is truly right and always rejoice in his consolation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is a prayer that I use frequently in my life when I'm feeling like, where are you, Holy Spirit? Come. So what is this all about, the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because we talk about the gifts of the Spirit in The ones in Galatians are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We all know those, right? There's different kinds of spirits all through the Gospels. Those are probably the ones that are known the most. But then there's the seven gifts of the Spirit that you'll hear frequently referenced. Different places, probably not in the grocery store. But they're important nonetheless. They're important in our call to discipleship. According to the Episcopal Dictionary, the gifts are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. That's a far cry from that little basket of fruit, love, joy, gentleness. It's pretty serious stuff. This list is based on from the prophet Isaiah in his writings in 11:2. The imparting of the gifts of the Spirit is associated with baptism, with confirmation, and with ordination. The sevenfold gift of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in hymns, and those hymns are often or always sung as part of an ordination process service. Gifts of the Spirit. Five New Testament texts form the basis of our understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, and they're known as the charismata in Greek. These are found in Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians. I'm not going to look them all up and read them to you, but you know where to find me, and I can know where to find them. But these gifts of the charismata may be understood as charismatic ministries. Some gifts refer to functions or activities, knowledge, healing, work of miracles. And some contemporaries consider that the speaking in tongues is the most essential gift of the Spirit, despite Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians that he would rather speak five words with his mind in church to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongue. Paul declares that he intends to share his gifts, share them with the Christian church in Rome, indicating that gifts can be shared. They can be shared with one another. Each believer is said to have a gift. Each one of you has a gift. People come to me all the time. I don't have any gifts. Well, baloney, you do. Sometimes you have to just find them. And that's a good place to use that prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Where do you dwell in me? How do you dwell in me? What are you calling me to do for my fellow human, for the world? At baptism, at the sanctifying of the water, the celebrant prays that the power of the Holy Spirit, those who are here cleansed from sin and born again, may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We dwell in the Spirit from the very moment of our baptism. After the action of baptizing with water, the celebrant prays for specific gifts for newly baptized from the Lord in the Spirit, including an inquiring and discerning heart, courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and love God, and the gift of joy and wonder in all God's works. The term charismata is also used to indicate the remarkable signs of God's blessings that empowered the early church, beginning at Pentecost. And it also has been applied to extraordinary or miraculous signs of God's favor at any time in the history of the church. We are in the process here at St. Francis of preparing to witness miraculous signs of God's favor at this time in history. We are going forward with rejuvenating our space here in the creation, in the neighborhood, and in the world. So when you come into this place, invite the Holy Spirit, who's already here, but to the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with you as you come in, and for that Spirit presence to be with us while we're together. Now, Ascension Day is Thursday, and we won't have an Ascension service, but it's a pretty darn important day. It's the day that Jesus is taken up to heaven. This is the reading from Ascension Day, so it's get an extra service today. How exciting is that? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he has chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. They were looking up intently upon into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood behind him. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is when Jesus leaves the earth and goes to be with his heavenly Father and to watch over us and keep us and then send us that Holy Spirit. As you all know, if you know me at all, some of you don't, Pentecost is like high on my list of fun days in the church. We'll wear red and we'll ring bells and we'll sing and we'll have a picnic. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. It's about that joy. It's about that celebration. It's about that accessibility of God every day, right with us, if we just listen and watch and ask. So come, Holy Spirit. Come hang out with us for a little while. We appreciate you. We love you. And remember that it is through Jesus that we find the Holy Spirit in our lives, because they're not two separate things. They're all part of the big picture: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in the words of the Nicene Creed, which is the profession of faith of our church. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let the light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May they also come to share in the heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others, especially Annabelle, Bob, Butch, Chris, Dawn, Dinah, Marion, Kathy, Keith, Sam, David, Tip, Chris, Sarah and Hal, Jill, Beth, Celia, Joanne and Roberta, Robert, Helen, Nell and Bella, the staff, volunteers, and patrons of Goochland Cares, the Blue Ridge Retirement Community, Kingdom Life Ministries, and any others you might add silently or aloud. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
And may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace, everyone.
Robert, please.